March 27th, 2007, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
lost my spare. I lost my spare. What to do? What to do? There is no change. There is no place. There is no change. There is no place.
Watt from Pedro show. Started off with John Coltrane Spiral. And that was Migu with What to Do. And it was a what to do situation because Brother Matt's pewter. Yes, we're back at the Love Grotto. It's been a while, maybe a month. But I'm glad to be here. Except, where's Brother Matt?
Where is Brother Matt?
I hear his voice.
He might be in the head or something. But we got some guests. People came down from Echo Park, huh?
Echo Park, huh?
Yeah, we got James Hamlin and Stefan Nelson. And not speaking is Mike Buscarella, but he's got a video camera here, and he's witnessing it, archive-wise, video. Hey, Brother Matt.
Hey.
Turn on the bubble lamp.
There's a party going on.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Now their mic's real loud.
Damn. Yeah, we had some technical difficulties.
So come over here, Brother Matt.
But we're back. Back in action.
Yeah. Now, you guys, you might
Bogart and myself.
All right, there we go.
Two.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. So, James, you wrote me an email. You wanted to come on the show.
We've really
never had one of those before.
Right on.
Look at that.
But we're big fans of the show.
Oh, well, thank you much.
Welcome for that. Nice to
have
you
here.
Yeah. We actually got to meet Brother Matt in person. That's pretty big.
What's he like is just a voice.
Well, you know, I'd seen the DVD. So I had a visual on you from the DVD, but your place is phenomenal, dude. You know. No, I think during the technical difficulties, we've had a good chance to bond with Matt, and come on.
It's been fun.
But yeah, we also were just excited to see what you guys would think of our. We have some very crazy music, so it was just interesting.
Yeah,
to think
we're
going to
get to that.
Yeah, we love crazy.
You know, I'm curious though. You heard the show before, right?
Right.
Several editions.
You play Wu Fei.
But we were disembodied voices in persona. And
that's
now
true.
You're in the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. You're in Pedro, somewhere north of the equator, west of the Rockies, Greenwich, meantime. And now, does it jive with you?
It's almost
the,
even
the
better.
Actual folks, the two personas in the real, with that disembodied over the pewter internet voice thing.
I think it would almost
is it
be
worse?
It's better.
Yeah, okay.
It's better.
That's what we wanted to hear.
It's better. It's almost it's very surreal. It's very, very surreal being here. It really is.
Now,
and
did
it is
you
beautiful.
Have an image in your mind before you came here what it was like?
I did, yeah.
What you have images of a bathhouse or
I kinda had more of an image of a basement, I think. Instead, yeah, it seemed more like you guys were in a basement listening to it, and now it's like, you know, the sun's setting behind you.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a real. We're looking at
east. You know,
we're looking at the picture of where we are on the computer.
People are confused. I sent out pictures, and they think they're always sunsets. But anyone who's been to Pedro knows we are not like Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach, Manhattan Beach, Venice Beach, Santa Monica, El Segundo. Well, that's a cop town, but. Most of PV. Yeah. We face east. We're like that part in San Francisco that faces Oakland. So we have sunrises. So you're right. The sun is setting behind us.
Yeah, this time of year kind of slides down a little bit. So we get a little better. We're starting to sneak back up now.
Yeah, it's on north. I don't know if you notice, but the sun has a track. During the year, it doesn't always rise in the same place and doesn't always set in the same place. And we just crossed the meridian, equinox. It was a couple of days ago, right? Vernal equinox. So, if it was the old days without the lights and we were going by the stars, we'd be way more cognizant of those things that we've lost our way with, because of our artificialness with the light and stuff, pewters. But that's how we get the Watt Pedro show across to folks, and we're not totally bummed on it.
Yeah, and the great thing is, on the computer right now, there's a picture of the overhead view of where we're at.
You are
here.
No, Brother Matt had a buddy in an airplane who flew over Point Fermin here. And, well, I kind of told you where we're kind of near, but that's what that shot is. Brother Matt... It's probably unique. A lot of people don't have that shot.
Yeah.
You won't get that on the Google map, world Google.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer than the Google.
When I Google down the street, though, I see my car parked right in the driveway.
Is that true?
That is weird. The first time I did that, man. Yeah.
Did you have wind today? We had massive wind.
Oh, big time wind. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, today is Tuesday, which is a paddling day for me. But I heard the howling, and I knew it was going to be rough. So I got on the bike, and I pedaled. And I even took an alternative route there because usually it's easterly, huh? That means I would be coming down Paseo and right around Korean Bell. They'd be whooping on me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I went up Western, up 9th Street to Western. I came down to Royal Palms that way. And, man, was it wild at Royal Palms.
Yeah, it's chopping hard.
The trees, the palm trees, you know, like helicopter blades. It was intense. And the, you know who really digs on it? Seagulls. Pelicans. They here at the Lighthouse Point Furman, 200-foot cliffs, and that gale comes on it and puts an updraft, so they just come and they just pop up.
Wow.
Elevator. Straight up. So it's righteous looking at them have so much fun. Yeah. They were having a lot of fun. I mean, it's hard for them to let you know, but...
Because the wind's like kind of splashing.
The gulls kind of sing. The pelicans are quiet. You know, they only have a song as a baby.
Oh.
So, yeah. Ain't that a trip? So it's, but I could tell they were digging on it. You know, they got a kind of permanent smile on their
face. Bird smile.
Yeah, I was just coming up the 5, and I just saw a big Riley mess of dust. I mean, it looked like it was rain until you got right up to it, and it was just trash.
You think it was having fun?
I don't think it was. I don't know. I didn't think about that until just now. Exactly. It was a shit storm. It was more of a
So I played you on my show before.
You did?
Yeah.
And it was great. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, but thanks. You brought me some more music.
Yeah.
Now, your band is called Howard M.
That's correct.
And how many folks? Just you and Stefan?
Just me and Stefan. Stefan's the drummer and also plays a little bit of synths, and I am playing and singing everything else.
So do you do a lot of gigs or mainly making...
We try to do gigs. You know, we had a gig Sunday at Sacred Grounds, but we have so much gear.
In Pedro. You had a gig in Pedro.
We did. We had a gig in Pedro. And the guy, we brought in a gong, and I think that was questionable. And then the guy saw the 88-key keyboard and was just like, I don't know if you guys, you know, I thought this was an acoustic act. And
it was Dave.
And
he's a boss.
And
but it's a little coffee.
It is. We had no business playing there.
You know what they say in vaudeville? No, you could play there, but you work the room.
Yeah.
That means, you know, you downsize. You know?
Yeah.
Like if you had a big dick, you'd fold it.
But the good thing was, is Stefan's brother is in a band called the Tough Cats, who were on tour all the way here from Maine at the time. And so they got to play, so we just enjoyed watching them play, and they rocked as hard as we could have if we would have played. So.
So your audience.
Yeah, and it was great.
That's a good role. Life's about roles.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Get on your thing,
it.
Brother man.
Yeah, the Tough Cats sold $100 worth of merch to one couple. So they were happy, you know. They sold a lot of stuff, and they were stoked. And the show went. Those guys are phenomenal. You know, it was a great show. But
Pedro people who spent $100.
Yeah, yeah, a couple. They wanted to adopt those guys. They wanted to take them home.
Santa Monica people.
And Jake.
Oh, they were Santa Monica people.
Jake, the drummer from Tough Cats, is the hugest Watt fan. That he was like, you know, he was trying to do a Watt spotting basically down there.
Sunday.
And yeah, and so just the shout out goes.
Sunday, I was in coming back from Texas.
So sorry, Jason.
South by Southwest. Oh. It was the second time I did that.
How
in fact,
was
the last show was done there. I did an interview with Steve Shelley right on this very aluminum purse. Ooh. That's what we're using here because we'll get Brother Matt's horse back in the race. But right now we got the aluminum purse, and that's why I use Steve Shelley. And he did a spiel. It was great.
Cool.
And played some music. He played me a trippy thing where he was asked to
be on a blues session. You didn't think Steve Shelley could play a blues shuffle, did you? Real good, though.
Wow.
Respect to Steve. I think they're going to China and Japan right now. Yeah. And they told me they're going to do All Day Dream Nation this summer coming up in order. And
nice.
Maybe they call me up with the walkie-talkie leash on the stage so I can do Providence.
That would be great.
Transcribe. I got to get the lyrics right. So, now, Howard M., how long have you had the band?
Are we over 2 years now?
I think just over.
Just over two years, maybe.
And whose brainchild was it?
I think it was pretty equal on both of our parts. Steph and I had worked on a soundtrack together, and he had a studio left over from a band that had broken up and an ex-girlfriend, and I had just been laid off from my new job at the time, which didn't last but a week. But we decided to start the band, and then once I got rehired and we had to pay for the studio, it just kind of kept itself going.
Okay, where'd you get the name?
The name is the name of a keyboard that I bought, that I had the bad habit of naming musical instruments, of, you know, kind of like naming a ship or anything else. It was just something that I always did. And so it was the name of the keyboard for a while. So instead of using a name, I used that name. And then by the time Steph came in, I made a bunch of stickers that had gotten hung up. And so we had...
Well, you mean you had the name of the band before...
We had the band, yeah,
I
exactly.
I thought it was equal creation.
Well, it musically, very
much
so.
You always had the name. It was just waiting for a band.
Exactly. Well, I was hanging up the stickers for probably 4 years before...
Oh, yeah, you know about that? There used to be these things called flyer bands.
Yeah.
Like in Austin, the old punk scene. Like the Dicks and that. They never played gigs. You just put up flyers.
Exactly. That's pretty much what this is all about. Yeah.
They were coming.
We're coming, exactly.
When you done.
And it's funny, there's a couple of sticker guys that have contacted me that were like, oh, yeah, Howard Am's legendary. You know, I mean, you guys have been around L.A. forever. I've seen the stickers. But, yeah, so by the time that this project was together, yeah, you know, and it's weird. This is just kind of the fantasy project that, I think the reason why we haven't played more gigs than we have is because we just, it's kind of a strange band to pitch to people. You know, the guitarist and drummer is not really I guess it's more acceptable two-piece bands than it used to be, but we're kind of a strange act.
Yeah.
The greatest thing about this first album was we got to record with Kramer, who I'd been in contact with and I understand that you guys have never met face to face. He was just in town recently.
No,
like,
I tried. I emailed him. I didn't get one back. He said he was in Long Beach. He wants to do something with me in Japan, play with two drummers and two bass.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
Kramer's a
great
guy.
I told him, yeah, I've been a fan of his. I've done music for him. I gave him Walking the Cow for a Daniel Johnson tribute. But this is a hard year for me because I got a lot of touring to do, but hopefully I can do that. You know, I like trying to put myself in strange situations, and so I can learn. So he's probably got a lot he can teach me. So I'm into working with Mr. Kramer now. Do you have anything to do with your recording? You produce it?
He produced the record, and basically I had written the guy since I was 16. Sent him tapes of, you know, back in. I've written him since, like, 1986, and I...
Wow.
Yeah, long time. Maximum Rock and Roll's days, that's where I found out about him.
Yeah.
And we had stayed in contact. He was supposed to record a band that I had...
Oh, brother, Matt.
He was supposed to record a band I had in Missouri in 1993 called...
Springfield, right?
Yeah.
I played Springfield only once.
I think that this guy was your sound guy.
It was a downtown thing, right? And then a store trip.
Yeah.
I really wanted to play there. You know who's from there?
Who's from
Charlie there? Hayden, Petra's daddy.
I didn't know that.
Cowboy.
I did not
Charlie.
Know that.
I didn't know that. He's from Springfield.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. Wait, is he the one that had the show on TV?
Well, he's part of a family that had a show.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, I am familiar.
Because he was a little guy. He was Cowboy Charlie. He wore a hat and sang. He got into bass later, and incredible.
Yeah.
Double bass, stand-up bass. Washed up. And another Missouri cat, but not Springfield, I don't think, is Pat Metheny. And he's made some records with him. I think they got one called Missouri Sky, Under the Missouri Sky.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew that.
So, but I've only, you know, because it was hard to find gigs there, and that thing was only short-lived, you know.
Oh, they
but
beat
it was
me down
great.
Majorly, yeah. It was
like a storefront downtown, kind of blighted area. But
Stefan was your sound guy.
God, Stefan, it's great.
That was a good
You know the good thing about Alzheimer's? You're always meeting.
That was
new
one of the
people.
Best. That was the best show that we had at that.
Was it?
Oh yeah, one of the best.
Wow.
Legendary.
We dug it. You know, I like playing everywhere and.
Well, we didn't get many bands.
Even though you tour a lot, yeah, because it's kind of, you know, it's south
hard
of the foothills of the Ozarks. And
yeah.
Not real hard, but most of the
most people just
routes
pass.
Are, yeah,
most
right,
just
they
pass.
Go north through Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, and that's a big school town. And
yeah. The Blue Note.
You know, Missouri, yeah, the Blue Note, Rich King. And
last
played all
show.
Of them.
Last yeah. Who Should Do the Blue Note.
Yeah, absolute, yeah. Absolute. Minuteman, Firehose, played a lot for him at his new one and his older one, the one by the highway. And that was really a stopover between St. Louis and Kansas
yeah.
City.
Big yeah. time. Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, sometimes geography means a lot. You know, like Boise gets a lot of gigs because there's just nothing. Salt Lake City, a lot of gigs.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, as you're routing the thing.
Yeah.
Or you can be on the other end of it, like UCATS, where the routing ain't so well. That doesn't mean you don't deserve to play them because every town has a reason why it's there and it's got good people. And
well, it's always
the only
the
thing
I've
found
place.
Different is geography and weather. People are people, and I just dig tripping on them, you know.
Well, during those early 80s,
trip on me.
During the early 80s, it was all about the Outhouse in Lawrence.
Yeah,
and that
that's
was the spot.
A hike.
That
that's
was
a
spot.
Hike for you guys.
That was a, but we always made it. I mean, that was the thing.
Wow.
It was worth it. You know, that was like. Toxic Reasons days.
So you didn't go south like to Fayetteville.
Fayetteville had the Faith Healers, which is a whole other
right.
scene, which
and
is a real cool scene.
Also,
Faith
they
Healers
had clubs, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Not continuous, but they'd have different things going down there. I remember playing one time. It was a combination club skate park. It had ramps and shit.
Yeah.
That they unveiled. And then you'd be playing some sports bar the next time around. But it was, you know, it's
yeah.
the big Razorback. It's
yeah.
a big school town.
There was money there, for sure.
And that's probably as crows fly closer to you.
Yeah.
But Lawrence,
the
for
scene
sure,
Lawrence
got a lot of gigs.
Then. Yeah.
A lot of gigs. And it has a pretty old scene.
Yeah.
Bands like Embarrassment and Immortal Micronauts.
Micronauts, man, huge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big time. Mudhead in the late 80s. I don't know if you ever heard Mudhead, but Mudhead was great, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still have some friends from Kansas City who have a band now called, what are they called now? They used to be in
well, Kansas
Rick.
City was, in the old days, Fool Killers.
Big Joe Turner.
And I played next door to it. Yeah, and then there was a blues thing, the Emporium, right?
Yeah.
And Emporium, and Mondays would be punk nights, so you could play there. And they'd have a chow, a cue in there, you could do that. Anyway, the Midwest.
Yeah. God bless
it's got
them all.
Best of both worlds, crazy the sweaty ass summers and the freezing winters.
Well, yeah, and you know, I moved to Los Angeles for a girl who I was with out here for several years. But
yeah.
Los Angeles has been so good to me. I mean, the Midwest, I was persecuted and punished for lots of things that now I make money off of. So you know, it's like
wow,
it's weird, you know. And a band like us could have never existed there. You know, the bands I had there were really crazy, but it was very short lived because you know you couldn't get any shows.
Well,
you know?
Burroughs ended up in Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah, and Burroughs was a huge influence on me. I went to school, you know, I went to school at KU, and
he put on a lot of
great shows. That guy, you know, Laurie Anderson was there. He brought people there that would never, and he gave a lot of money to the art school. You know, I mean, it was he was putting on
gigs.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I mean, he would. Yeah, well, you know, he sang with Laurie Anderson. I actually, the best story I have from Lawrence with William S. Burroughs is a friend of mine, Pat Bills, and Lord only knows he may listen to the show. He probably does. But Pat Bills used to cut his grass. And if he would do it with no shirt on, he made $5 extra. He would always do it with no shirt on. And William S. Burroughs would sit on the porch, Gods and Monsters style, and drink lemonade and watch him mow the lawn.
I got a song for you. We're going to play some of your music, but then I got a song for you there, Lawnmower Man. But this song we're going to play here, Dada, what's this? Tell me about it.
This is a song that whenever we very first started experimenting with different stuff, we started experimenting with using an arpeggiator on a keyboard that was set to a certain loop and having Steph add drums to it. And this song kind of merged out of that whole sound of different stuff. And, for a long time we almost dropped it, and it ended up being a lot of people's favorite song, so we decided to keep it. And But it's, you know, the main thing on this whole album to us is just, you know, Kramer is a genius. The guy produced the heck out of it. He came and dug a lot of this out of the... He really helped us just create a sound out of this early stuff because he really, you know... I don't know how familiar you are with his production work, but the guy is really...
He mixed my Walk in the Cow that I gave him. I just sent him over the basic tracks that me and Pete Mazich and Talia and Nels Klein did. And then he mixed it up. And then he also put his own singing on, which was a trip.
Well, like On Fire by Galaxy 500? I mean, guy has produced some beautiful... I mean, yeah. Bongwater. You know, I mean, Bongwater, Too Much Sleep is one of my favorite, you know, favorite records. That guy's work is really phenomenal. I think he's
overlooked.
So this
song, you give a lot of credit.
His production on this song, I think that as you listen to the drums and everything else on it, it's pretty wild. I think that his take on our music was really fantastic to us because I think we were so used to it. It's kind of hard to hear it yourself at a certain point. And yeah.
Some perspective.
And just
perspective.
It's nice to have someone that knows exactly what you're looking for without you having to explain it to them. And then, you know, just to hear what, you know, neither one of us could have had the guts to do what, you know, to make those moves. And it's the most collaborative experience I've had.
Did you demo for him?
We sent him demo tracks and whatnot, but really we just we recorded everything in a real small studio out in...
What I mean is, like, you presented him as demos and he said, hey, why don't you put the verse over here? And
no, he didn't arrange this at all, even though he is. That's one of his main things to do is arrangement. He did, you know, he basically came, he recorded all the session with us, and then he mixed it all at his home, mastered it all there. So he sent us the first take that he thought we were going to do notes on or whatever, and we were in love with it. So we were just like, man, you did it. That's it, you know. So it was very much his vision of what we were doing, you know, more so than even ours. He heard it. And the best thing about the recording session with him is we used, like, a lot of vocal effects and vocoding and that type of weird, you know. And Kramer done a lot of that, like, pitch-shifting type of effects. And whenever he had recorded all of our music, and he was really into the drums, he's really into different aspects, and, you know, definitely guiding us along a track of what he wanted to record and how he wanted to record it. But as soon as he heard the vocals, he shattered into this laughter that, you know, was, you know, borderline maniacal, crazy laughter, which actually there's a section of on the disc because we were just so, you know, it was the moment whenever everything broke loose of, like, wow, you know, he really gets this music. You know, he understands he can be laughing now and it's all right. I think, you know, our music hits people in a very strange way. After he produced it, he was like, well, people that don't like experimental music are going to hate this record, you know, and I think that's pretty much the truth.
Well, you know, we can only talk about it so long. We should probably...
Here we go.
Play it. Here you go. This is Howard M. Dada, Bought from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Well, it's all but a pretty female to let you understand. She had a mind for roving to some foreign land. She dressed herself in sailor's clothes and boldly did appear. Well, engaging with the sea captain to serve him for a year. The captain's wife, she being on board, she seemed in such great joy to think her husband had engaged the handsome cabin boy. And oftentimes she'd slip a kiss and beg him, don't be coy. Awful well she liked the features of the handsome cabin boy. So nimble was that pretty maid and done her duty well. But mark what followed afterwards, as she herself can tell. The captain with that pretty maid did often kiss and toy. Often soon he found the secret of the handsome cabin boy. Well, her cheeks, they were like roses, her hair was all a curl. The sailors often smiled and said, he looks just like a girl. But eating captain's biscuits, well, her color did destroy. And the waist did swell a pretty nail, the handsome cabin boy. It was through the Bay of Biscay their gallant ship did plow. One night amongst the sailors there was a dreadful row. They tumbled from their hammocks, for all sleep it did destroy. And they swore about the groaning of the handsome cabin boy. Oh, doctor, dearest doctor, the cabin boy did cry. My time has come, I am undone, and now I'm going to die. The doctor ran into her bed, said, now you are undone. Oh, to think a cabin boy could have a daughter or a son. Now when the sailors heard the news, they solemnly did swear. The child belongs to none of us, each sailor did declare. M'lady to the captain said, my dear, I wish you joy. Offer either you or I've betrayed the handsome cabin boy. Come on, you bold fellows, we'll drink success to trade. And likewise to the cabin boy, who was neither man nor maid. And if the war should rise again, our sailors to destroy, well, he's hoping for a lot more like that handsome cabin boy.
I don't really feel anymore. I'm
Pedro Show. We started that one with Dada and Howard M. Good job, Kramer. Then we had Yumi Yumi with Idiot. That should be my theme song. Did I ever tell you about my transmission story? I mean, as many as 20-something years ago. I never told anybody for many years. It's so fucking embarrassing. But I was up in Koreatown, and I conked over there in K-Town and woke up, and somebody bashed my square back.
Oh.
Like, fuck, but I could get it back to Pedro. And I also, at the same time, had a bus, 63 bus, the both of those wagons. So, hey, I can swap the trannies, huh? So, you know, it won't be a total loss because I used have to use a bungee cord in the fucking bus to keep it in third gear. So all day, the thing about Volkswagens, you could do this on your own, you know. You could pull the motor, pull the tranny, and they're swing axle, right? So that means I got to get the splines out the whole fucking dealio, put it up on the jack stand, and, you know, pray the fucker don't fall off. Those days, you know. So you can't see that, but I showed Brother Matt where the teeth are missing. Anyway, I get the fucking motor out of the bus, then I get the tranny out. I get the motor out of the square back. I get the tranny out of the square back. I flip them, get them in there, and each, you know. And, you know, this is all day, right? Fuck. And, you know, of course, many knuckle buster fucking blows with the you know, pipe on the wrench to extend it so you get some fucking torque, the whole dealio, heating them up. But anyway, I get through it all, I get it all back, and I, you know, hey, let's try it out, man. You know, and fuck, what do I have? Four gears of reverse and one of forward. You understand, on the buses, and I was a younger man. More younger man. There's fucking transfer boxes at the bottom At the hubs, huh? Right? Because they're going to use the same train, but we're going to downgrade gear using these transfer boxes. Now, you got a set of gear here, a gear here, and a gear here, right? Two gears. So what happens to the direction?
Oh, it's reverse.
You know? Yeah, it's one of them re-fucking tard tests that you take. You know, I didn't think this through. Of course they had reverse trannies in the fucking buses. You know? Oh, shit. So I had to yank all the shit back out. Well, at least the bolts were a little easier. That fucking hell. Oh, my God. Can you believe that? Idiot. Fucking idiot. And then we had Use Your Youth by Shinjin Rui. I think. They're from England, you know, but you heard his accent. That's their name. And El May with Order in the Nothingness. That's my other theme, is Order in the Nothingness. Where we at on the time? I can't see. We at it there. Okay, it's the March 27, 2007, Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two. March 27, 2007. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
We are done. That's Howard M. with Are You Real? Which is a song you guys say is your pop song.
I guess we say that because it's slower than our other songs.
Okay. So slow is pop. Usually with drummers, slow means softer.
Yeah.
Right? And fast means harder.
Yeah, it's true.
How do you know if the drummer's at the door? The knocking speeds up and he doesn't know when to come in. Drummers are the heart of the bands. Drummers, I mean, we're all doing drums, I believe. You know,
very much so.
These little repetitive things, unless maybe Ravi Shankar with his ragas that repeat every 2 years. But most of us are doing little repetitive things. We're actually playing two drums, the left hand on the fret, right hand on the picking if you're right-handed. And I think this is one of the reasons why all these make fun of the drummer jokes and then the guy's stupid and all this shit, because they realize deep down, without admitting it, because they're in deep denial, that that cat is holding all the power. It's just
big
rhythm
time.
Music, especially rock and roll.
Big time.
But all the other musics. Probably the first drums was the earth. And dancing, the bottoms of the feet were the sticks. Yeah, right. So fuck that shit about not giving drummer respect, because... And yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen my trios, but I put them way up front. I put with this kick drum around my leg, so even if I don't hear it, I'm feeling it. I mean... And for the bass guitar, that's the closest known as that kick drum. I just have lots of respect. I'm playing with a young guy now, a guy 20 years younger than me, Raul, who comes from hardcore. And the guy, even though the music's way different, he's way up for it. Drummers are bold, motherfucker. They're hard chargers. I'm way into them.
We saw you guys at Safari
Steve
Saved. You
Perkins,
two
incredible.
Songs.
You see with Banyan, he's in the front leading
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
If we play a Banyan gig and Perkins is forced to set up behind us, it's the worst.
Yeah.
You know? With the Stooges, I'm with this Scotty, who's amazing, incredible. I mean, you get Plum walking in with that groove. I got to play with Dave Grohl, incredible drummer. Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. Of course, George Hurley, you know, who's all about personality. You know, this is the way George Hurley's going to play the drums.
Yeah.
In fact, a little later we'll play the new something off the new Unknown Instructors.
All right.
Where I got to play with them. Well, it was me, him, and the Dust Storm. Yeah, it was George ain't played in a little bit. I was like, whoa, what's with the studio here? You know, like on the what you saw on the freeway, the Dust Devils. Then I looked over and it was coming off his drums. Oh, Georgie ain't playing a lot.
Maybe that's what
the best
there.
Thing of that session though was David Thomas conducting us. And David Thomas is a cat. You know, me and Georgie looked up. We saw the first Perry Ubu gig at the Whiskey when they came to town, and Modern Dance, you know,
man.
And the singles
wow.
before that. Love that band. In fact, I get to talk to Tony Mamone. He has a studio in Brooklyn now, and he wants to talk to me on the phone.
Because cool.
I've nice. Looked up to his bass lines and all that, and then I got to meet him, and he even stayed at my pad in Pedro. One. It
wow.
was funny. He came, me and Kara was living in the one room thing on 14th. I mean, this pad had one outlet. Just one room, but one outlet. And like, here comes Tony. Tony's going to cock there. You know, it's like, whoa, I don't know. Tony, you know. It got to a point, in some ways it was righteous because you didn't have to really reach far. You know, the shit had grown in from the walls. So far, you just, spaceship. So Tony conked in the brack pad. And I guess
wow.
some motherfucker, if there was cats in there and the fleas got on him and bit him up. He's a beautiful man, and he's just put out a record called The Book of Knots with the singer of Mekons, John.
Oh, wow. I bet that's
great,
cool.
Great cat. And he wanted to play with Dose, but I got tore and shit. That would be great, because this
yeah.
Book of Knots thing he's got. He's also got, we played some on the show a little while back. Home and Garden was a thing he did during Peru, but it was something he did with his drummer, Scott Crossan. It shows you how punk rock is. Scott Cross has got his son singing,
wow.
you know, in the band. And his son's got a beard. Wow. I mean, his son's in the band with a beard. You know,
things have come along a little bit. A little age. So before Are You Real by Howard M., you guys, your buddies there, the Tough Cats from Maine.
That's right, New Haven,
straight Maine.
And the lead guy in that band is actually Stefan's brother, Joe Nelson.
Oh, wow.
Yes, my brother's band.
Okay.
They were just in town. They just played Sacred Grounds on Sunday to a huge response.
Did they play this tune here, Thunderbird?
They did. Yes, they did.
To a huge response, right. There was a couple from Santa Monica who was touristing, slumming in Pedro, and spent $100.
Yeah.
Threw a big Benjamin at him.
And Jacob, their drummer, was...
So how did they bear the weight of the heavy coin?
Oh, man.
Did they take it well?
Big time.
Okay, big time. We had Position Normal with Olive before that. We started out the second hour with No Feelings by Now. Like now, we got No Feelings. Is there a Sex Pistols song called that? No feelings for anybody else except for myself. You don't know this?
No.
You don't know this? You don't know this? Steve Jones would know. I think they had a song called No Feelings.
Right.
But that's one of the reasons why you can't copyright a title, because there's lots of... Do you know that? You can't copyright a title of a song.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, that's why you're on the lot. Pete Rose Show. Learn shit. So, Tough Cats, how long have they been around?
Oh, God, I'm not really sure.
Speak for them.
I'm not really sure how long they've been around. At least, probably 3 years, but I think they never were all together at the same time for long periods. Cause
all right. Who's the one consistent member? Your brother?
Yeah, my brother, I think, writes a good... bit of the material, but I think they write a lot of it together. So
his brother plays a resonator guitar and sings. There's a banjo player who as well whistles and sings and plays a little mandolin. The drummer plays a
bass player.
There's no bass player.
Yeah, of course.
That's where you come in.
That's kind of like the main sound.
The drummer plays a suit.
Maine. He's talking about the grand state of Maine.
Yeah. Yeah, they're from New Haven, which is an island.
They're lobstermen, right? They're marinaros. They're
Vinyl
in the boat.
Vinyl Haven and North Haven.
What kind of van? Did they drive a van over here?
GMT.
They did, yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, they got a brave marinaros. They got a great deal on it.
Brazo Grande.
Yeah, they're doing well
there. Oh,
yeah.
I played there a lot. I played the big town, Portland.
Portland, yeah.
But I played some... college things too,
but the drummer is a huge Watt fan. He was amazed we were going to be on here, so I'm positive he's listening right now. So heads up to Jacob,
Joe, Colin.
Jacob, you rock.
You guys are the best.
Much respect. Now, what's the Deerhoof connection?
The Deerhoof connection is tonight they're actually playing. It's listed as Tough Cats and Friends, so we just assume those guys are playing with them. These guys put on a show. Well, it's easier for Steph to tell the story, I think.
I don't know if it is, but let me try. They put together a ballet on North Haven for the school. And the
Milkman.
To the soundtrack of the album Milkman by Deerhoof. Whenever Deerhoof found out that they had organized all this, the lady who helped him organize it at the school had somehow known Deerhoof, correct?
Yeah, they were friends.
And so she contacted them. Deerhoof ended up coming out for the performance, taking the whole thing in. They made a DVD of it now.
How long ago was this?
A few months ago.
Probably a year ago.
Deerhoof's on tour now.
Yeah, let's say they probably did that a year ago.
Pettibone Son and El Rey, it was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great band. They're great awesome. Band.
A lot different than the record. No keyboard live. Just the three of them lined up in a row.
Just bashing it out.
Yeah.
But they're really
whooping it up, John. Mm-hmm. Crazy ass. And the singing with the Satori. And the
good
bass, too.
Yeah.
Real bass. Like Paul McCartney bass.
Yeah.
Well, I always hated it as a kid, but I'm learning to... you know what called me up, speaking of bass players, yesterday? It was Les Claypool. He says, I see you on the cover of this magazine.
We love Les
Claypool.
How
you doing? An incredible musician.
Changed the world.
He told me he just made a movie.
No way.
And I think he brought bass to a lot of kids.
Big
like
yeah.
Where they want to play. Him and Flea.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Turn me on to the Residents.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they were around a long.
Well, I know, but I mean, I never heard of the Residents before Primus covered one of their songs.
Actually, you know they're from Louisiana or something.
Yeah.
But then they moved to San Francisco. Yeah, Third Reich and Roll. And,
Residents are great.
Duck Stab EP. That's the first record I got, was the Duck Stab, and then I got Third Reich and Roll. And great band. Me and Raymond saw them do some weird opera where a skull guy danced around and narrated, and I think that was a little Baracho and fucking...
Genius.
Told me to bite down because I was just fucking yammering. Someone stole their eyeballs? Oh, shit. They had some dudes in eyeballs, but the main dude narrating, and I think it was stories from the Bible all whack.
Yeah, God in three persons.
Okay. Some kind of trinity. Must be their
Louisiana. Yes.
Some parish kind of thing. So they did this ballet, and it's a record, a DVD?
It's a DVD, and it's available through those guys' website, I'm sure. I'm sure it's probably available on Duro's site, too. But those guys have really taken them under their wing because Tough Cats are an amazing band. They're a band that once you see them, I think they're just going to be huge. You know,
I first heard about Duro through Nels. I mean, it's part of the scene, you know, taking folks.
Yeah.
Our first tours were with Black Flag. Part of the scene is that you come together.
Yeah.
You bet.
You know? The
you
way,
bet. Yeah.
And then I don't think that those values or ethics went old fashioned. So, like Les tells me, he's in town for a movie. He's made a movie, about some jam band that gets to play the Festeroo, which is like the jam grail or something. I don't know. But Les, he was laughing all the time.
Oh yeah, he's a great sense of humor.
He's having a good time with it.
He has a theme to that Robot Chicken show.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know, he's done a lot of themes.
South
Park.
South Park, of course. Yeah.
He took me on tour once. Good cat.
Mad genius.
Very great bass player.
Nice.
Anyway, he said, you're still playing that bit, because he saw me play a bass at a gig, that little Gibson. He goes, that's the one you should be playing. So when he said this yesterday, I said, well, you told me to play it. He goes, okay. It's a way to do it. And, but it was good to get a call from him. And, I go, well, you probably were expecting some fusion dude on, this month. And he goes, well, with that voice he got, huh? It was, you put in the confusion. They got him to hear about it. I know about it. All right. Thank you. I got to bring you one, Brother Matt. The shirt's all fucked up. I look like an idiot, but... it was funny. I took the picture here in front of the practice pad, and I got the bass, and the guy went, well, where's wardrobe? And I go, wardrobe? I'm gonna wear this, okay? He's a young man, too. And in fact, he was a skater. I kept talking to him. Because you don't ever know with a picture taker, But you got to respect him. I mean, it's like a sound man, right? The suck knob.
Yeah.
It turns out he was a hardcore singer in Salt Lake City as a young skater.
Wow.
And so he was no square John,
Yeah.
But maybe he told me about doing a session where a cat would not do it without makeup.
Wow.
And like he didn't have the budget for makeup.
Wow.
So the guy said, don't worry, I got my own.
Oh, wow.
So they had to wait for this guy to dog, preen up. Fuck. So I guess my shit was kind of easy. I don't know. It's all... My mom just got me. It was a Pendleton, And you wear them, and I like because they're itchy, but I didn't see how it looked. It was all new. Straight pin. Hanging out. Well, Brother Matt, you ready? It's time for the spin cycle. It's been a while. Now, I don't know, you guys heard the show, so you've
heard familiar. The show. We know about the spin
cycle. But you weren't familiar enough to bring your own shit to jam with
it. We should have brought instruments. It was very last minute. We wish we would have. That's true. We do
have
a Buddha machine here.
Yeah, tell us something about the Buddha box.
Now, the Buddha machine, whenever the song you played before we came on here was using the Buddha machine, and this is from a band called FM3 from China. And these guys sell these little. It's kind of a takeoff on a mantra box. That's a Buddhist thing, but these guys have recorded their own little tracks on here. And you can get a number of these guys going at once. And now we had these. We had one of these on our album, on that song that you played. And whenever Kramer mixed it, he ended up taking it out of the mix. Check these things out. But whenever Kramer mixed the album, he took it out of the mix. So inside the cover of the album, we put on there that you should buy one of these and then play the track that was meant to go with the song. So we brought him on today to, you know, because we figured that you probably hadn't seen it.
No.
As well. It's an incredibly interesting device.
A whole new way to digest music.
And these guys, you know, these guys are on MySpace and all that sort of crap. But they're really cool guys as well. You know, it's a real, even though they came up with this genius thing. The band is called FM3. You can kind of see the FM3.
This is like their album. You know,
this is their whole album. They released the MP3s online where you can just play them off of there, too. But the player actually, the thing that we're playing this out of, kind of looks like a small walkie-talkie or a little radio. Yeah. Yeah, and they come in all different colors. But then they got a little volume adjustment, so you can play the different loops and turn the volume up or down, place them around the house. The real reason why I freaked out on these, you know, I'd shown them to a few people, and I, you know, spent a lot of time listening to them. I was kind of freaked out on them, but I'd taken them to visit my mom in a hotel in Palm Springs. And I'd left them on for a long time. We had been talking, and she kind of froze and got this weird look on her face and said, "Wow, you know, those things have been playing this whole time, huh?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you kind of forget that they're on." And I realized she had had that transcendental moment whenever that happened, and so I was like, you know, I ended up mailing her like three of them, you know, and it said, this works on people that wouldn't have that transcendental moment otherwise, I don't think, you know, it's a real interesting, and while we were having all the technical difficulties, these were on, and I think it calmed everything down a little bit.
Yeah.
Chill in a box.
But these are the Buddha Machine that song is entitled for.
And there you go.
Cool. That's a good start.
Welcome back. Spin it.
Toss my foot up in the air, grab my crotch, who am I? Michael. Keep the music on the cycle so we can finish up the flows in your flow. Hold up. This is called the frozen sound. Shatter your teeth style. Breathe like the Arctic style, y'all.
Thank you. down by law. We'll be right back.
March 27th, 2007. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show, and here's part 9 of Jack Flanders and the Ghost Islands.
Do we stay together?
Well, we'll cover more ground separately.
I brought some walkie-talkies.
Oh, I love the walkie-talkie.
Ah, so?
What did he call me?
Oh, man.
Be serious. We have so little time.
Now, let's see if we can get a signal. Here, Dominique, try it. Ah, you're coming through just fine.
Hey, I'm surprised they work.
As long as the island remains solid, yes, they will. And then what?
Well, then we'll be blowing bubbles.
What bubbles?
You know, bubbles.
Jack!
Oh, I'm sorry. How much time do we have?
Maybe only an hour. After that, I don't know.
Now, there's a path here.
And there's one over here.
And one right here.
Ah, three paths, four people.
Claudine, what do you think? Each on our own?
I do not want to be alone.
Well, Dominique, I guess you can come with me.
Oh, no. I know you. You were to sacrifice me to the fuzzy.
Well, Thanks for the thought.
Dominique, why don't you come with me? Oh, good.
We better keep checking in with each other to make sure we stay in range.
Testing, testing. Claudine.
Bonjour, Jack. Bonjour, Mojo.
Bonjour.
Oh, bonjours all around. Okay. Any last words?
Oh, man. I hope these are not my last words.
Please, use your flashlights only when necessary. To save batteries?
Oh, the moon's bright enough anyway. What about snakes?
I like snakes.
Oh, okay. If I see one, I'll send it your way. What about monkeys and baboons?
I don't know, Mojo.
But we do know it's got one thing.
You mean us?
I mean the fuzzy ones. There's nothing like seeing spooks in the moonlight.
You two, stop that. It's not funny. Come on, we don't have much time.
We set off in different directions, following our paths. It really was spooky. You felt anything could just leap out at you at any time. But at least we were keeping in constant contact with each other.
Mojo, where are you now?
I'm climbing a hill.
I can hear the surf pounding down below.
That's a good sign.
Why is that?
It means the island is still solid. When you can't hear the surf, well, we're sunk. Jack, where are you now?
I have no idea. Claudine?
Yes, Jack?
See anything?
No, just jungle. I see something. What is it, Dominique? I can see a clearing in the moonlight.
Natural or man-made?
Or maybe fuzzy made?
Hey, Dominique had a bad dream about the Luca Luna, and this is not helping.
Mojo, don't scare Dominique.
Sorry.
So, Mojo, where are you now?
I'm at the top of the hill. I can see the lights of the town over there. Where are you?
Oh, it looks like there's a valley down below, but it's covered with mist.
I think I'm getting a view of that from up here.
Claudine, come here. I found something. What did you find? A cave. Jack, Dominique discovered a cave.
Be careful, okay?
Jack. You're going down into that fog.
Yeah, that's where my path leads.
Yeah, mine too.
Maybe we're on the same path.
Well, if you see something coming towards you...
Don't shoot.
Mojo, what would I shoot you with?
I'm just saying that if you see...
Wait a minute. Hold on. There is something here.
What are you seeing?
It's only a film of mist over the top of the valley, but underneath it's clear. There is no mist. In fact, the moon is shining right through it.
That's good, because I'm starting to step down into that stuff right now.
There's something here. I can't make it out. It looks like whatever it is, it's very big and shimmering.
Is it a giant fuzzy?
I sure hope not.
No, I'm not seeing anything. I'm in the fog trying to stay on this path.
I think this is the settlement Rose told us about.
You're seeing buildings?
I can't quite focus on them.
Sounds like everything's got the shimmies.
Where are you?
I'm fogged up here. I got to feel my way on down.
Claudine? Hello?
Anyone there? Hello?
Jack?
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I see what you mean. This place has got the shimmies.
Are these buildings solid or what?
Well, maybe to see him, we got to shimmy, too.
How are we going to do that?
Well, let's just see what the Udu man has brought in his little bead pouch. Here, chaw on this.
What is this, root?
A little something the natives around here use as a means of transportation.
What does that mean?
Well, they use it to take them places.
Mojo, we don't have much time.
This is Madame Jamal's guaranteed fast-acting root.
You've tried this?
It's the real stuff.
Okay. What the heck?
Don't swallow. Chew it. Keep it in your cheek.
Jack? Are you there? Mojo?
Claudine? I'm here.
I can't reach either one of them. Oh, God, look at this. What is it? Bones. Skulls. Mummy. Are they human? They were. Maybe the cave preserves the bodies.
Were they sacrificed?
I don't think so. No. I don't like this. The cave is being used as a mausoleum.
Let's leave.
Dominique, these are only mummies.
Well, do you want to join them? I don't.
But look. You see how they were wrapped? They are being honored.
I do not want to be honored. I'm getting out of here. Oh, my God. What? Look. Out there. Waiting in the moonlight. It's a funny one.
This root tastes a little like ginseng.
I took a nibble yesterday.
You know, I think those little wavy lines are starting to straighten up.
Or maybe we're waving with them.
Hey, we're standing in the street. It feels like cobblestones.
Hey, do you remember that city we saw in old Montreal? The one that was somewhere next door to reality?
You're right. This does remind me of that.
Isn't that the place where you first met Claudine? And here's a place that's not so different.
Things are beginning to add up, Mojo.
Well, don't start totaling just yet. We don't know what we're going to find next.
Have you tried to read the signs on these buildings?
It looks like Arabic and Chinese. I didn't know you could combine those two.
Well, let's see what's inside some of these buildings, shall we?
After you, Captain Jack.
Oh, no. Down, down. Three fuzzy ones. They are gathering. What do we do? We can talk to them.
Look, look, there's more. More are coming.
They gather so quickly.
Bella, they're hungry.
I'm getting hungry. Aren't you?
Claudine, this is not funny.
Well, we can't stay here.
Yes, we can.
We are running out of time.
I'm not going out there.
Dominique, this island is going to disappear, and then what will happen?
Look, look, there's more. More are coming.
Claudine, Dominique.
Jack, Mojo, help us.
Are you there?
Yes, yes, help us. There are fuzzy ones. They are everywhere.
I can't hear you.
I said, we are surrounded by the fuzzy ones.
Have you found anything?
They have found us.
Everything all right?
No, no, nothing is all right.
I can't make out what you're saying. I'll check later.
I guess they haven't found anything.
Let's try this little shop. See if there's any spooks in here.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was The Solvents with Stranded in the Echoes. And we had Howard M. before that with The Pearl. That was pretty Stranded in the Echo. Where was that? Where was that recorded?
That was recorded at our rehearsal studio. That's actually a demo track for our upcoming Mega Integra Drome CD.
Right, and you have a gig to go along with that coming up. At
we have
Il
a gig.
Corral, huh?
We have a gig at Il Corral Saturday the 14th.
Saturday the 14th of April.
The April, yes, yes. And I'm not sure when we're playing there. You never really know. There's three other bands, and we're one
probably
of them.
Probably the 14th.
I mean, what time? Yeah.
I understand.
So you gotta stay.
I got some gigs coming to Friday at Smell, March. What is it? 30th. March 30th, Friday at Smell with Dose, and 31st, big benefit for Richie Hess at Safari Sam's. It starts at 4 p.m, maybe 12 bands or something. And we're all coming together to help Richie because he's got a cancer and it's fucked up. You know, musicians, it's hard for him to have insurance. I know I was there when I was my sickness. It took me a long time to pay off. Somebody at your hatch, brother man? I heard it not. Tip to tap. And I have insurance now. Went and got through Musicians Union, but everybody wants help. Please, come on down if you're in the vicinity. Safari Sam's, it's in the east part of Hollywood, Sunset Boulevard. Sam's a good cat. I got to play there for the first time a month ago. I used to play his club in Orange County. Way back, Minutemen days, in Firelands. But now he's got a new pad and good folks there. Yeah, good sound.
Great
Nels
sound.
Was on fire. I had to leave right from that gig to go to France. A couple of hours after I played. Yeah, that was some wild stuff. Played on some French TV, and then we played a gig up in the Alps in a tent. I took my first helicopter ride. That was wild.
Oh, scary.
It was. It doesn't have momentum like an airplane. You know? It
drops like a rock.
No, it was floating like a bee, a hummingbird.
Yeah, hummingbird.
It was intense. I sit next to Steve McKay, Buddy and Iggy were in front of me. And in the Alps, too. So we were under all the snow and the mountains.
Wow.
Guy's pointing out the cow paths. They walk when it's summer. And I had a nightmare. I had a really bad nightmare the night before that gig. Fuck. It scared the shit out of me. It was really strange. I don't know if I should verge on a tangent. Let's see the timer. But you wanted to play some Miles and talking heads and shit, man. So maybe we should get to that. Anyway, this thing was really scary. I was on a schoolyard, and there was these young people, and they weren't kids, but they're young people. And they're in a play. It seemed like they were in a play, but they were speaking Emma Goldman stuff from her We the Living book. You know, I was like, whoa. But it was like they weren't really into it. It was like a school assignment or something, you know? I was like, wow, we should get into this. And then all of a sudden I leave that schoolyard or a playhouse or I don't know. You know, it's a dream. So, and then I'm in Hollywood, the kind of neighborhood part, and I'm going through people's yards and shit. I'm in somebody's garage. And I remember that there's these bikes there, and he went over, kind of, and it was going to fall, so I go to bend down and pick it up, keep it from hitting the deck, and it's been painted. So when I go and grab it and shit, my fingers put fingerprints in the paint. And there's the dude who owns the house is there, and he's looking at me all pissed off, and he's got a leash, you know, he's going to call the pigs. I'm calling them,
And it's like, whoa, so I got to run, and I'm running through people's yards, and they're all pissed off. I mean, it was a fucking way there. Persecution. I was so relieved when I woke up in a way, you know, because I thought for sure it was really happening. I get those things where I'm convinced that it's not a dream. It's fucked up. And I'm always thinking about what after, you know, now what do I do? Bayoneted 20 times in the chest. Where I could find an emergency room. Here, you want to play some Miles? Let's play some Miles. From the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
for Pedro show. That's some music James picked there. Talking Heads with Animals. Neil Young with Transformer Man. And Honky Tonk by Miles Davis. You want to say something about that, James?
Miles Davis is a big inspiration on our new record because of his recording of large improvised pieces being edited into smaller, more profound work. So we've been listening to a lot of him lately, and
that's where you're headed?
Transformer Man is just a vocoder Neil Young. You can't beat that. And
is that demo thing you did for the new record?
The demo thing we did is going to be on our new record, yeah.
Didn't seem like there was a lot of edit in there.
There's no edit. That's why it was a Watt from Pedro exclusive.
That's right.
Unheard anywhere else in the world. Never to be heard
that
again.
You're not going to play that at Il Corral?
We are going to play that at Il Corral on the 14th, Saturday of April.
Right.
And the last song, you know, the Talking Heads is just the line, animals think they're pretty smart, they shit on the ground and see in the dark. I just love the lyrics of that song. Pretty profound.
Yeah.
Really does say it all.
More than Mongoloid?
Mongoloid
said it all.
Yeah. Well,
somebody, you know what mashup is? You'd know, Brother Matt.
Yeah, like cutting up the tunes.
Yeah, there's a band called the Illuminoids doing that where they mash up. They do Mongoloid with. Oh, they do it with some weird song. They do it pretty good. They did Forming with. You know, the germs forming.
Oh, yeah.
They do it with the. Shit, I don't know. It was really good. If I heard it. Ah, fuck. Well, they do. You see this commercial with Iggy? In the Cadillac or something?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I'm a punk rocker, yes, I am. They took that and they mixed it with M&M.
Wow.
Right? What's it called? Turn it loose, turn it up, let it loose. Punk it up, whatever the fuck. he's rapping pretty fast. And then Iggy's in it with it.
Nice.
And the same thing with Darby. He's with this other song I can't remember. I'll play it next time. They're called the Illuminoids. They do it to a few songs. Who turned me on to it? Howie. You know Howie Pyro? He's from the old days. Good cat. He's got his own radio show, too. I think they're friends of Don Bowles.
Sounds like
old friends of Don. Anyway, the Unknown Instructors have a new album, and we'll play a tune here. This has got myself on bass and George Hurley on drums and Joe Baez on guitar and Raymond Pettibone on voice and lyrics. Here you go.
Thriller? Trillin'. Trilling. Trill. Troll. Head pole. Twingle, twangle, twing, twang, twinkle, twinkle, twinkle roll, twinkle toe, twinkle, twink, in the twinkle of an eye, twinkly, tinky, Ringo, twinky dink, choir, higher. Her knickers in a twist, not knits, no knicker knockers and butts knockers up, cup got a notch in my knot stick stock, twitter twat, do it, whittle or whittle, whizzes, whizzer white, make the twirly gig tight. Twirler girl. Step first
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show with the fucking echo. Sorry about that. Got Chris Murphy with Blues for Bukowski, and Don Bonebreak on drums and myself on bass. And we made a video for that, so it's going to be on MTV every 5 minutes. So check that out. And we played Long Beach. What's it say on the timer there, Brother Matt?
It says 59.
Yeah, but we got to go 7 more because we did the
bonus.
We did it. You people won't have the privilege of hearing Miles Davis all bum rushed by a feedback. <really. So. laughs> Oh yeah, I should talk about it a little bit later. Before Chris Murphy was Twing Twang by Unknown Instructors with Raymond. And I'm looking for a song here to play from the Lepers Productions. Let's see, this album here is the Super Heats, Greatest Heats, Alter Yinga Lepers. And what should we play, guys? Already a Lucifer? I'm Scared of Myself? Hidden Secret Song? No, not just the secret song, but hidden. Or Car Fishing. I like Car Fishing. Here's Car Fishing, live from Pedro show.
Yeah.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was USSA, Dwayne Dennison's new band, with Dead Voices. And we heard Car Fishing by, were they Atayunga?
No, no, the Lepers, right?
It's Leper Productions, but the band, it's Alexander DeLarga, and he's got all kinds of stuff. And this is his Atayunga. God, I forgot to write down the other word.
Cool vocals on that.
Yeah, probably Italiano, huh? Atayunga Lepers.
Yeah.
But he's got all kinds of things like frog women. And he's quite talented. What do you call it?
Producer?
Productive.
Prolific.
Person. Prolific, that's it. Thank you, Stefan. Stefan, James, thank you for coming aboard. Good luck with your Howard M.
Thank you, sir.
Project with the record, with the gigs. Always great to see you, of course. Brother Matt.
Brother Matt, thanks for having us in your home.
Thank you.
Aiden and Abed. Kristen, thanks for coming. Everybody, I'm back soon. I got a tour. I leave a week from today. First Stooges U.S. tour. I talked to Iggy today. It's going to be intense. I think we do 10 gigs in 20 days. Or 11 gigs in 21 days, I think. But we get to play the U.S., so, you know, 90% of our gigs have been overseas, so it'll be nice to play here, too. So I'm looking forward to that. Everybody, it's a March 27, 2007 edition of the Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.